Evangelist Vincent, an anointed man of God who has been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God with clarity and to heal the sick and the oppressed.
God has a very special end time purpose for the nation of Sierra Leone.
So let's worship. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus has come to seek and save that which is lost.
Because he loves, he wants to have the relationship.
He's about to do a miracle in your soul.
Your broken heart is healed right now. I will set them free from darkness, say the Lord, if my people allow me to create in them a new heart. Listen now, how much do you want Jesus? What are you willing to surrender to him? Power! Power! Fire!
We have to pick up our cross like never before and rise and shine. The word of God that is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
I am the resurrection. I am the life. You are going to know Jesus Christ personally.
The tremendous judgment of sin, he laid it upon his own son, Jesus Christ, so that we could go free.
Let them go home safe.
Or echt dan elkaar uit van het kijken.
Born again of the Spirit of God.
Because he had to die on that cross so that he could conquer death, hell and the grave. So that all of us can receive the gift of life. And Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life.
In the name of Jesus Christ, as he ordained us to do. And if we believe that name, then we lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The prophet Isaiah speaks in Isaiah chapter 60, and he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. This is a prophet, brethren, this is a prophet who sees in the future. He sees the time that we live in today. He sees a time in which darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That is a terrible picture, to see the earth covered in black darkness. And on top of that, gross darkness upon the people. That means the people are blinded with a black darkness around them. And that's what we see today. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Here he's talking to the born again, to the children of God, to those that have been born of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the glory of God that is upon them will bring light to that dark world. Amen.
Amen.
They will see it, because all they are used to see is darkness. There is gross darkness upon the people. There is darkness upon the world. So when they see the glory of God, they cannot but notice it. Hallelujah. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Or if you like, the unbelievers shall come to thy light. He is speaking to you. He's speaking to the born again. He's speaking to the children of God. The unbelievers shall come to your light, which is not your light, but the light of Christ that is within thee. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. No matter what standard, no matter what position people have in the world, hallelujah, they will see, because they cannot deny that light, that glory of God that is upon you. Hallelujah, amen. What Isaiah is saying, he's giving us a picture of how terrible it's going to be, but also what power we have in Christ Jesus and what we can achieve with the glory of God upon our life. Hallelujah. And if we are right with God, and if we have a life that lines up with the word of God, and we are pleasing unto God, then that glory is upon us. And no matter where you go, people will see that glory. To really understand it, we have to go to the book of Habakkuk. So we go to the book of Habakkuk now. Praise the Lord. Before I preach on Habakkuk, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. All you that work and try and get rid of your problems and try and find the solution. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with burdens, heavy laden with the pressure of life, heavy laden with the pressure of finances, heavy laden with the pressure of whatever it is. Come unto me, saith the Lord Jesus Christ, for I will give rest unto you. Learn of me. He said, learn of me. Matthew 11, verse 28 to verse 30. Learn of me, for I am meek, and my heart is lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You shall find rest unto your soul. So whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, whatever the pressure is, come unto Jesus, and he will give you rest. Because when you have rest in your soul, a rest that only God can give unto you, a rest that is the peace that surpasses all understanding, when that peace of God, when that rest of Jesus Christ is upon your soul, you are at ease. And then the word, the Lord will work out whatever it is that needs to be worked out. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Each and every one of us has to carry a burden. As born again Christians, as children of God, we are very few in a world full of unbelievers, full of ungodliness. So we have a burden. But he says, don't have the burden of the world. Don't have the burden of financial pressure. Don't have the burden of family pressure. Don't have the burden of all sorts of manners of problems upon you. No, that burden you give unto me, Jesus says. Because come unto me and I will give you rest.
Amen.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many of us, we are born again. We are... Our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory for that. But we are still yoked. We are still yoked in bondage. So a yoke is what normally, if you have two horses or two oxes pulling a cart, the two oxes are yoked together with a piece of wood that goes over their neck and then another piece of wood that goes over the other ox or horse's neck. So they're yoked together. So if this horse goes that way, the other one has to follow.
Amen.
And if you are yoked to bondage, or if you're yoked to fear, or if you're yoked to anything of this world, then whatever the world is going to do, whatever the economy is going to do, whatever situation is going to do, you are pulled away. And this world is going to, the world is only going to go down. The kingdom of God is up. But the world, and thank God we are not of the world, we're just in it, but don't be yoked with the world. Because the world will pull you down. Because you can't be yoked with it. Because wherever it goes, it will take you, it will pull you. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you.
Amen.
For my yoke is easy. And if you're yoked with Jesus, You go where Jesus goes. And you will only have the burden of Jesus upon you, which is light, he says. Every other burden is too heavy. No matter how strong our shoulders are, no matter how tough we are, every other burden, we are not designed, we are not created, we are not ordained to carry. Ultimately, it will crumble us, it will crush us. That's why he said it's... He's crying out when he says that in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have to give to Jesus what we are not supposed to carry, what we are not supposed to be yoked with. We need to ask the Lord Jesus to break every yoke
Amen.
Of bondage,
Amen.
Every yoke of ungodliness,
oh, yes.
every yoke of pressure.
Amen.
And that's why in the Old Testament he makes it so clear. He says the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to read and study the word. Learn of me, he says. Because when you learn of Jesus, how does Jesus talk to you? He talks to you through his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wrote the word from Genesis to Revelation. He is the word. The word became flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said, learn of me. Learn of me. Don't learn of other people. Learn of me. And learn of the people that he has ordained. Godly pastors. Godly men of and women of God. Amen?
Amen.
Like your pastor here. Will you not be deceived? Because in that gross darkness and that darkness, there is also apostasy. There's false teachings. There is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which are false doctrines. Because the devil is also a player. And he wants to pull you away. He wants to yoke you back to religion. Or he wants to yoke you to something else. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of fear. Apostle Paul says. You've been set free. Now don't be entangled yet again to the yoke of fear. Do not fear, Jesus said throughout the word. Fear not. Do not fear. Fret not. Be not anxious. Do not worry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot fear. That is, let's give it. Let's give it to Jesus. Let's come unto Jesus this morning. Because we are all tricked sometimes. Or we try and do things in our own strength. And we carry it. And somehow, in a deceived mind, we think we can work it out. No, we can't. What can we do? What is man? Nothing but a vapor. We need Jesus.
Amen.
I need Jesus to
Amen.
Breathe. I need Jesus to talk.
Amen.
I need Jesus to walk.
Amen.
I need Jesus to think.
Amen.
If it wasn't for Jesus. Oh, I couldn't even think of the terrible state I'd be in. I would be dead. I know I would be dead.
Amen.
And I would not be dead in Christ. I'd be dead in hell. But I thank Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I understand when Paul says, because Paul did terrible things when he was Saul. But God changed him, didn't he?
Yes.
And God said, I'm going to call you Paul.
Oh, yes.
And he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
For necessity has been laid upon me. I cannot but preach the gospel. I have no excuse but to preach the gospel.
Amen.
For Jesus, he made Saul into Paul. Jesus, he washed away our sins. We have to thank Jesus for what he did.
Amen.
And we have to learn of him in his meekness and his lowliness of heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now go to the book of Habakkuk, because that is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we're going to see from the book of Habakkuk another burden. The burden that Jesus talks about in that Matthew 11 verse 28 to 30. My burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That burden that we are allowed to have, that is the burden of God. What is that burden? Let's look, because Habakkuk, he had a burden. We'll go to Habakkuk, the fifth last book of the Old Testament. Praise Jesus. Habakkuk chapter 1. It starts with the burden. Hallelujah. Keep focusing. the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Now, here is Habakkuk, a prophet of the Lord. Just like Isaiah, a prophet who's been given a vision of the future, of the nowadays and the future. Most prophets, they were given the picture of God for what is the current situation and how it will also have an effect and be a repeat of situation in the future. Habakkuk, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? See, the burden that was on Habakkuk made Habakkuk cry. He said, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Imagine a prophet with the burden of God upon him. And he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. He's looking at people wrapped up in ungodliness, blinded, can't see the truth, can't understand the truth, can't understand the judgment. Why dost thou shew me iniquity? Why are you showing me the iniquity, the sin, the transgression, the breaking of the law, the ungodliness, the abomination, the blasphemy? Why are you showing it to me? And cause me to behold grievance. With the consequence that he feels grieved, he feels hurt and nearly crushed by seeing it all. For spoiling and violence are before me. Spoiling and violence are before me. Murder, death, decay, war are before me. And there are that rise up strife and contention. People that rise up strife and contention. And God hates contention. It's an abomination before God. Contention among brethren, that is. Why dost thou show me iniquity, sin, and cause me to behold grievous? Perilous times. He is seeing tragedy. He is seeing decay. He's seeing immorality. He's looking around and he says, all around I see death and decay. All around I see immorality and abuse. All around I see ungodliness and sin. All around I see iniquity and transgression. Lord, how long shall I cry? Amen. He was carrying a burden of God that God placed upon his very soul. And he looked at them. Ungodliness and apostasy. He sees the problems now, and he sees now as at the time when he was then, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and he also sees it centuries ahead, even to this time. How long? He was also a prophet in the time of the Babylonian Empire, the mightiest and strongest empire at the time, and probably one of the strongest and mightiest empire that was. And he was witnessing a never satisfying lust for greed, a never satisfying lust for power. It was never enough. For the Babylonian Empire and its king Nebuchadnezzar, it was never enough. They had to conquer more. They had to have more power. They had to have more wealth. They had more of everything. Their soul, their greed was never satisfied. Absolutely run with a spirit of greed. And we see it today. And in the renewed Babylonian system, the people of today, it is never enough. No. You have one thing, you want another. You want another, you want another. You have one car, you want two cars. You have one TV, you want two TVs. You have £100, you want £1,000. You have £1,000, you want £1,000,000. When you have £1,000,000, you want another million in case you lose that million. The spirit of greed comes in. People that are millionaires, it is never enough because they are yoked to fear. They are crushed by fear. They live in fear of losing what they have. So they gain more and gain more and gain more. In case they lose, they still have something else. greed, never enough, never satisfied. And he was looking at the Babylonian Empire and how the spirit of greed took over, not unlike our world today. But God brought down that once mighty Babylonian Empire and its king Nebuchadnezzar. God Almighty brought it to its knees, and suddenly judgment fell because the people were blinded that God is also a judge and that God is also a God of judgment. He is a righteous judge. He is a very good judge. He is a righteous judge, but he is a judge, and he has to judge sin. He has to judge iniquity. He has to judge transgression, because he will not go against his own word. He obeys his own word. Amen?
Amen.
And suddenly, unexpected to them, judgment fell. And it brought them down. And the New Testament describes the prophet John, the revelator, who wrote the book of Revelation. He describes a same picture, a new Babylonian system. And suddenly, judgment is going to fall. Suddenly, the Son of Man shall return. Suddenly, he will not return as a babe in a manger, but suddenly he will come on a white horse from heaven. Hallelujah. And suddenly he will set his foot upon a mountain that will split and cause an earthquake. And suddenly fire will come from his eyes, and judgment will come to a world full of greed, full of ungodliness. Judgment will come suddenly. And as Habakkuk has been crying out to God, God answers him in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk says, I will stand, Habakkuk 2 verse 1, I will stand upon my watch. See, this is a man of God. I will stand upon my watch. Some of you may have studied the Bible and know about the watchman of Ezekiel and what the watchman is supposed to do. And then it will give even more depth. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me, Habakkuk, and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because in every cry there is an answer. In every problem there is a solution.
Amen.
And this dire strait, this dire state of the world, then and the world now, there is a solution. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is God.
Amen.
For this is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:11, you don't have to turn there. It prophesies that every knee, as we sung, will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Relating back to the judgment. Every knee, every person who has ever lived, and every person that will ever live till Jesus comes back, will bow their knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Nobody will escape that knee bowing.
No.
The Bible unfortunately says that most of them will do it at the great white throne of judgment. The unsaved, the ones that are condemned by God, the ones that denied the cross of Jesus Christ, the ones that denied the unlimited, unconditional love of God the Father, who said, I will give you everything that I have.
Amen.
To save your soul.
Oh, yes.
I will do whatever I can do. I will do something that you would never do yourself. But I am God, and I'm going to do it because I love you.
and I'm going to send my only begotten son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice to hang on a cross, to shed his blood, and to die with the full judgment of sin upon himself, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, should not go to hell, should not be condemned, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That is the love of God. And he did it. But those that deny that crucifixion and resurrection of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, that deny the greatest love offering of a loving God, their very own creator, for them there is no hope. Sin, Jesus said, if you confess your sin unto me, I am just and I will forgive your sin. But God says, do not deny. Do not deny the cross. Do not deny the cross. Do not deny what I've done for you. Do not deny, hallelujah,
amen,
the blood shed for the remission of sin. Do not deny the power of the resurrection. Do not deny my word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And therefore, as judgment will fall suddenly upon Babylonian systems, or upon a revived Babylonian system, or a new world order, or whatever it is that the devil is conducting in these end days, judgment will fall suddenly, but also suddenly an individual. Because Hebrews 9:27 is a very important one to be convicted in our very soul. It says, for it is appointed unto every man to once die. But after this, the judgment. Judgment will fall suddenly upon each and everybody who is unaware. When death strikes, after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto every man, every woman, to once die. But after this, the judgment. Judgment can fall suddenly. That is why Jesus says, be ready at all times. Confess your sins unto me, he said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Suddenly, pride and greed,
Amen,
two of the major forces of the devil.
Amen.
But pride, a proud heart, will think, I have another day. A proud heart will think, I'm okay with God. No, he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus never came with pride.
Amen.
He says, I resist the proud.
Yes.
And I give grace to the humble.
Oh, yes.
And it is grace that we need, because it is by grace that we are safe, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
It is amazing grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But grace comes to the humble and not to the proud.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Proud says, my sins are not too bad. Proud says, I'm fine with God.
Yeah.
Proud comes in the way of humbleness. Proud, a proud person will never bow his knee. A proud person will never admit his mistakes. A proud person can never be broken for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, help me, a sinner, I messed up. Lord, I'm going to be honest with you, I messed up. Forgive me, my Lord. Hallelujah. That is humbleness. And then grace comes. Jesus, we give you praise. We see in chapter 3, Habakkuk begins to pray. He's witnessed all of these events. He's seen it. He has that burden. Amen. That burden for the lost, that burden for the sinners, that burden of those that are ungodly. He says, how long shall I cry? And in chapter 3, he begins to pray. Chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk. A prayer. The prophet. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. It's good to be afraid of God. In a reverential fear of God type. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of circumstances, but be afraid of God.
Jesus says, be afraid of him who has the power to cast into hell. He says, don't even be afraid of the one that can kill you, that can kill your body. No, be afraid of the one who has the power to cast your soul into an everlasting hell. So he begins to pray, oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work. This is a prayer for revival. A prayer for revival in the heart of him. A prayer for revival in the heart of man. In the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make me known. In wrath, remember mercy. He begins to pray for revival within the heart. He begins to pray that we get revived in our heart. We that are saved and we that need the grace of God and that need to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess our sins and ask for his mercy. Amen. A revival is needed. But revival starts within each and everybody's heart. How are you? What needs to be revived? What needs to be resurrected? What needs to be lit with the fire of the Holy Ghost? What has died? What has gone down? Where have you become lukewarm? God doesn't like lukewarm. He likes us to be on fire. He likes us to be hot, serious, focused, dedicated, committed. And that's when his blessing will come. The blessings, the righteous shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Let God revive your heart. Let God revive your heart. God is crying out. God is crying out now, and he was crying out then. Repent. 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 Amen. Stop sinning. Come to the mercy seat of Jesus Christ. Surrender yourself. Surrender your life. And let him take control. Stop doing it in your own strength. Stop carrying the burdens that you cannot and are not designed to carry. You can't be delivered if you carry that on your shoulders. You have to give it to Jesus. And if you give it to Jesus, he will immediately take it from you. But it is an action of your will. Hallelujah. Amen. It is an action of your free will to bow your knee and to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Amen. I messed up. Amen. Forgive me. Revive me. Resurrect me. And give me eternal life. But there is another part of that prayer. There is another part of that cry from God, which is, now let your repentant heart be broken for those that have not. That is the message of Habakkuk. That is the message of Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. That is the burden that is light. That is the burden that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that are truly born again of his Spirit. If you are truly born again of the Spirit of God, if you're truly a child redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, appreciating the tremendous love sacrifice that God our Father gave unto us, then you will receive gladly the burden, which is light, which is the cry from God. Let your repentant heart be broken for those that have not repented, for those that are unbelievers, for those that know not, for those that you know, for those that you see, which at the moment they will spend eternity in an everlasting hell. A hell that Jesus Christ made a reality to us. A hell that Jesus Christ saved us from. How can we say we are saved if we don't care for those that are facing the judgment of God? How can we say we love God if we don't have the love of God burning within our heart, within our soul, for those that know not? For those that are on their way to an everlasting hell where there is gnashing of teeth, where the smoke goes up forever and ever. How can we not be broken for them? Habakkuk was broken. How long? He cried. He prayed. He prayed for revival. He went on his knees, not for his own needs. He's not asking God for anything that he needs. He is praying for the lost of his age and of our age. He carried the burden of God, and his reward shall be great in heaven. There is another prophet, the prophet Joel. He made this profound statement, which totally complements Habakkuk. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, Joel says, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." Your heart needs to be broken before God. And it needs to stay humble and broken for the lost. Otherwise, you need to pray and you need to repent and you need to confess that you have no love for your neighbor. You have to say, "Lord, you have to do something in me, because I can't love my neighbor enough to tell him that Jesus Christ came to save." Amen. You have to say, "Lord, help me. I need something. I need a revival within my heart, because I just can't witness to my family. I'm just going to be in fear and watch them go to hell forever and ever. I just can't get the words out of my mouth. I just can't get the love in my heart for the lost. Lord, break my heart."
Amen.
Don't rent your garment, but rent your heart.
Amen.
Rent your heart. If that is you, you need to confess that to God. Because lukewarmness is towards God. But God also wants you not to be lukewarm to just him, but he also wants you not to be lukewarm to your neighbor. There is a world out there that is captured by the devil. It's not their fault, because remember, if you can remember, I can remember, there was a time when I was not born again. I believed there was a God. I believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But I had not confessed my sins to Jesus Christ. I had not repented of my sins. I continued in sin. I continued outside of grace. I was blinded. We were all once like that. And the people out there, they are like that. Everybody has some people in his environment that you can touch with the word of God. The word of God is love. The power of God is love. Love casts out all fear. Love overcomes everything. The love of God, the devil will run as fast as he possibly can when the love of God comes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please, my brethren, let us come before God with an honest heart. Let us confess our sins before the Lord. Let us ask God, revive us. Revive us in our heart. Where we need to be revived. What are we doing? What fruit are we bearing? You said in your word, "You will know us by our fruits." What is my fruit, Lord? What is my fruit?
Amen.
I've been a Christian. I say I'm a Christian. I say I'm washed with the blood of Jesus. But what is my fruit, Lord? What is my fruit when I come before the judgment seat of Christ?
Amen.
How much have I been building in wood, hay, and stubble? And it's going to be tried by fire. And it's going to burn up like that. And you'll have to say to me, "You've done nothing for the kingdom of God."
Amen.
Lord, help me to build with precious stones, with gold and silver, so that when at the judgment seat of Christ, your fire is going to try it. It shall remain, and it shall be better. And you can say unto me, well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to be Christians like that, because that is a Christian according to how Jesus says we should be Christians. Amen. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The world has corrupted and misinterpreted and twisted the term Christian. But that's what they are good at. But Jesus defines in his own word, in Luke, especially in Luke 14, what a Christian should be. "Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Whosoever shall not deny himself and not pick up his cross cannot follow me."
Amen.
Whosoever thinks all about himself and his problems cannot follow me. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny your desires. You've got to deny everything and follow me, Jesus says. If you're not willing to give up everything, if you're not willing to leave father, mother, brother, sister, houses, lands, then you are not worthy to follow me, Jesus said. Are you a Christian? Are you a disciple, which is the term that was initially used before Acts chapter 10. Christians were named disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you following Jesus? Are you following the Jesus of the Bible?
Amen.
Are you following the Jesus that loves your neighbor and commands you to love your neighbor? Are you following the Jesus that makes these very strong statements in Luke 14? Are you revived? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Maybe one or two people are led by the Spirit to sing a song. In your seat or here, it doesn't matter. Because I want to pray right now. I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to convict us. I want to pray to the Holy Spirit to convict us and to revive us. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to be honest before God. I want us to be broken before God. God is a righteous God. God is a good God. But suddenly judgment will fall. Suddenly our work shall be tried by fire. Suddenly we have to face the holiness of God and we can't hide in the world anymore. Suddenly we have to realize we have to answer to a holy God who saved us so that we can also be a blessing to others, who said unto us hundreds of years before he was born, although he was and is and always will be, glory be to Jesus. But he said, arise and shine. Arise and shine. Get up from your seat and let the glory of God be upon you so that you carry a light to those that are covered and bound in gross darkness, for gross darkness shall cover the people. How happy was you when that person, when that mother, when that sister, when that brother came unto you and said, you know something, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
It might look dire, it might look terrible, but there is a way out. You might think that God will never forgive you, but God is a forgiving God. Amen. Whatever word is sown in your spirit, whatever, however way they were led by the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel, but they caused the Holy Spirit to move upon you. They brought the glory near to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's sing a song and pray to God. If you are convicted, I want you to come. I want us to make a line here. I want us to bow our knee before God. I want us to truly be humble. I want us to truly bow our knee to Jesus Christ. And I want you and me to come in agreement and pray. And pray for revival in our hearts. Please. Please, our hearts need to be revived. If we've got to be right with God, when judgment comes, when judgment falls suddenly, are you ready? Are you ready? Those that want to be broken for souls, those that want to be broken for the sin and iniquity that our neighbors are bound up in, I want to ask you right now, please resist pride and come to the front. Make, not because the front is special, but I want you to make a move towards God. I want you to arise out of your seat. I want you to come to the front right now and ask God to revive your heart. Ask God to revive your heart. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Please begin to pray. Make a step towards God right now. Make a step towards God. Come, come. If you've come for deliverance, if you've come for healing, don't come to God without a broken heart. Don't come to God for anything until you've asked Him to revive your heart, to help Him to rent not your garment anymore, but to rent your heart, to rent your heart. Can you be broken for the lost? Can you be a true Christian? Can you be a true follower of Jesus Christ? Can you really understand what your Father in heaven did for you? Holy Spirit, move. Move with the fear of God upon us. Please, Holy Spirit, move with the fear of God. Move with the fear of God. Move, move with the fear of God, Lord. Holy Spirit, we need to be revived. Holy Spirit, we need Holy Spirit. We need to be broken. We need to understand what you did. We need to understand. Lord, break every yoke with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Break every ungodly yoke right now. Break the yoke. Break the yoke. Whatever burden of the world, whatever burden of problems, Lord, take it from us. Take it from us. We've given it to you. And give us this burden now. Give us this burden. The divine and the godly ordained burden of being broken for those that know not, for those that are unrepented, for those that have to go to hell. Lord God, give us an understanding. Give us an understanding. Give us the fear of God as we've never felt it before. And let the fear of God come upon us, Lord God. So that we can truly worship you for what you've done. And we can share what you've done with everybody. God, break us. Break our heart. In a scriptural way. Oh, move, Holy Ghost. Move in our hearts. Revive our hearts. Convict our souls. Help us to enter into grace. Lord, begin to deal with our burdens. Begin to deal with our burdens. Begin to deal with our burdens, Lord. Remove that ungodly burden. Remove the burden of financial pressure. Remove the burden of bills. Remove the burden of fear. Remove the burden of bondage. Remove the burden of fear. Remove the burden of condemnation. Remove the burden of pressure of life. Remove it, Lord. Remove it, Lord. Remove it. Come and visit us, Lord Jesus. And render our hearts, Lord. Lord, break the yoke. Break the yoke. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Spirit of God. Heal us of our brokenness. Heal us of our wounding. Our wounds. Heal us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Heal us, Holy Ghost. Heal us, Holy Ghost. Heal us of our sin. Heal us of our sin. Holy Ghost. Heal us of our sin, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Give us the right perspective. Give us the right perspective. Give us the right understanding. Give us the right wisdom. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I know you are removing sickness. I know you're removing burdens. I know you're removing demon spirits. Because you are God. You don't need us to do that. You are moving in this place. But Lord God, we want to go to heaven. We want to make it to heaven. We don't want to go to hell. Stand for what you did. We want to feel the same passion for others. For greater works than you shall we do. Greater pain than you shall we feel. What kind of Christians are we, Lord Jesus? Help us revive our heart. Revive our heart. Break us for those, Lord God, that are going to go to hell. That are going to go to hell forever. If we don't do something. If we don't do something. Yes, Lord. Remove the sickness. Remove the fear. Remove the demons. And fill us with the fear of God. Fill us with the fear of God. And let no demon stay. I command every demon to leave these people in Jesus' name. Every religious spirit, you get out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity, you get out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of witchcraft and obangi, you get out in Jesus' name. Every water spirit, get out in Jesus' name. Angels of the Lord, I pray, Father God, you've loosed them all around in Jesus' name. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of proud, go out in Jesus' name. Spirit of proud, go in Jesus' name. Hey, da la bayanda, la babayando, la babosandete, la babacandete. We want to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. We need the blood of Jesus to wash our sins. We want to be honest before God. Come on, let Him take away your sin. Let Him take away the condemnation. Let Him take away the evil spirit. Let Him take away the sickness. Let Him take away the burden. Give Him the burden. Give Him the burden of the world. And take the burden for souls, for love. And allow yourself to be yoked with Jesus. Every ungodly yoke, I break it. I break it. Every ungodly yoke, I break it.